G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions season 2017. Shit, we nearly pulled the pin on it this week after going 0-7 between us last week, but...
It couldn't get any worse, let's be honest.
Well, certainly, well, I bloody hope not. I hope they don't come chasing me for bets I haven't laid, but... Look, a little bit of weather here and there and some wankers that can't kick straight.
Yeah, St Kilda, those two big sticks in the middle. Yeah. One more of them in... 14-23 to miss the cover by a point and a half, for fuck's sake.
That all said, though, very interesting round of football. Some really, some results, I guess, that throw the balance of the season, not into question, but certainly puts a cat amongst the pigeons, I guess.
Yeah. Especially because of the bad sides actually winning. Like, what do you do with Freo and Gold Coast now? Where do you put them?
Exactly.
I've got no idea what to do with either of them.
As well, like, there's... three teams that we probably expect to maybe get 10 wins between them for the season, or one on the weekend. Like, that's not going to happen too often. So, well, it was interesting from that point of view. Pretty sad old weekend for myself with the Hawkeys getting pumped by 90-odd, but anyway.
You got four flags to console you in the last 10 years. You'll be right.
Yeah, but you always want...
Selfish bastard.
Let's rip into it.
We kick things off Thursday night at Subiaco, West Coast hosting Sydney. Eagles laying 2.5 to 3 goals, total points line, low to mid 180s.
Yeah, look, I guess historically these sides, night games at Subi, you always think back to the probably almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, now. They're the ones
that really stick in your mind, where it was 63 to 62 or whatever it was, all the bloody time. West Coast still, you'd expect them to do a job on the Swans at home. Sydney, for mine, they're still their real Achilles heel is their defence. They haven't got quality defenders across the board. Nick Smith's a quality player. Really looks like he's going to be something. But, you know, with the retirement of Super Ted and Rampy out injured, there's just that they are weak. They are weak at the back end. They can't afford to put a Sam Reid down there at centre half back because they need him up forward, because at the moment, apart from that sort of one game there where he popped out of the box, no Tippett, Franklin's playing a lone hand. The more I think about it, the more I think West Coast might just do a little number on Sydney here, and I'm going to lay the points.
Yeah, I couldn't talk myself into the line. Almost solely on the basis, I really struggle to see. It's hard to picture Sydney 0-4.
Mate, they'll be 0-5.
They do it. The
Hawks will be as well.
They rarely jump as underdogs, but they got a pretty good record covering. Now, last week I didn't back up any interstate underdog, and they were Collingwood, and they won the fucker outright. But anyway,
it'd be interesting seeing how many of those games they've covered with seven blokes that have played less than 15.
Yeah,
games.
I think that's the key. Is sort of why were they underdogs?
And three of their four Jet midfielders averaging less than 20 touches this season so far. So. Yeah. They've got their issues, Sydney. Yeah. They've certainly got their issues.
I'm going to bet the under here. As you said before, there's a long history of these sides playing low-scoring games. It used to be 10 years ago they were close low-scoring games. Last couple of years, they've been blowouts in both directions to the home team, which would support West Coast at the minus, but they've also still been low-scoring. So last two haven't made 160 apiece. I think low 180s in a night game. I don't know where Sydney get a big score.
Yeah, well, look, even with that in mind, I'm still very comfortable with the minus. This could be 90-60.
Both sides are hit. Well, let's just cheer that in. I'm going to bet the under here.
Good man.
First time we're going around on a Good Friday. We're at the Docklands for North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. North getting about 4 to 4.5 goals. Total points line, mid to high 180s.
Well, as we sort of spoke about in the green room, the last two between these sides have gone sub 110. So, probably doesn't put a lot of confidence in it, but I guess I think it was early last year where it was 20 all at three-quarter time or something, or halfway through the third quarter.
Something very heinous.
They set all kinds of records for stoppages and contested possessions. I think the game has opened up a little bit since then. I don't expect that sort of real clampdown. The Dogs were woeful last week in their effort and their intensity around the contest. I certainly expect a lift from them in that regard. They're too good a team with too many good players to let that happen again. And I think they would have copped their fair whack during the week internally. And I expect them to come out all guns blazing. I don't think they can... Well, I'm still shy on the total, just given the history between the two and North's inability to put a score together at the moment. But pretty happy to lay the points.
Yeah. I couldn't get near the line in the end. This is, trends tell you, this is a bad spot for North Melbourne. They're pretty ordinary as underdogs of any size. Western Bulldogs are actually pretty bad as favourites of more than three goals themselves. Recent head-to-head history all says under, but North just can't get stops at the moment.
Yeah.
They've just been rolled over 3 weeks on the trot, and I fear that enough in terms of a fourth straight game where they can't get stops to steer me out of the under. It's no bet for me. We move to Saturday afternoon. We're at the MCG for Melbourne and Freo. Melbourne laying 3 to 3.5 goals, total points line around the 180 mark.
Melbourne devastated last week with the loss of Max Gorn for up to potentially 3 months with a hamstring injury. They really rely on him. A lot of their regeneration rebuild has... Obviously, there's been other blokes around him winning the football, but a lot of it comes from his first touch, and they'll certainly miss him. I mean, expect Jakey Spencer to come in, who's got a decent record, and he's a competitor, but... Whether or not Sandilands, he can, you know, nullify Sandilands to any sort of meaningful sort of impact on the game. I know that the role of the ruckman and the importance of the ruckman is becoming less and less, relevant in the modern day. A lot of people, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not ruckman should just be outlawed altogether, but. When you've got a big prick that stands 7'2" in the middle of the ground, and you've got blokes in and under him like Nat Fyfe and Dave Mundy and who's the other little bozo over there? Short black hair. I always forget his name. He had about 7,000 touches last year, but anyway.
Lockie Neal,
that fella as well. Could get first hands of the footy. It'll be a ding-dong battle in the middle and something worth watching, but Freeman will take a lot of confidence out of last week, but on the road, at the G, I think they'll get beaten comfortably, but I'm just happy to probably just watch this one and not get too involved.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. It's amazing to think last week, if they put this line up 3.5 goals, how quickly would you have steamed into the minus?
Oh.
But with Freo actually showing some signs of life for the first time in about 12 months and no Max Gorn, that's more than enough to tip me out of this one. I don't know what to do with this game at all.
You know.
Second of the Saturday afternoon games, we're a twilight gamer at Marnica Oval in Canberra for GWS and Port Adelaide. Giants laying about 3.5 goals, total points line low 190s.
I'll be putting my GW membership to good use and attending this one, so chances are it'll piss down, as it has every other time I've been to Marnica Oval. But Port Adelaide at home in front of their home crowd were beaten by Adelaide. Whose home ground it is, of course, as well, but still home ground advantage with the members in there would have made a big difference there. I think Port have shown some really great signs, but they're probably just still a gear off. I know GW got beaten by Adelaide as well, but I think they probably just got jumped a little bit at the start of the season rather than, you know, being comprehensively outplayed, as I thought Port were to a degree last week. For mine, GW are a significantly better side. They know Marnica, they play the ground well, they use the expanses of the ground, and their running power, for me, is going to be enough to get them home and get them home comfortably, so I'm going to lay the points.
Yeah, it's a no bet for me. If I was going to go anywhere, I'd be leaning GW minus for all the reasons you've outlined. Last time these two went head-to-head, I laid about 4.5 points, and GW won by about 14 goals, which is nice. We could chalk that one up early in the third quarter. Port have shown me enough to say that I don't want to go racing out laying almost 4 goals on them at any point in time. GW, very good side. As I said, home field advantage worth a bit. If I was going to play, it'd be GW minus, but not quite enough. If it was less than 3 goals, I think I'd take the minus.
Nice.
Saturday night, we're at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium for Carlton and the Suns. Blues getting almost a goal start, total points line high 180s.
Yeah, well, as we touched on previously, both sides had really impressive wins last week and showed a bit. I think the Blues win was significantly more taxing than the Gold Coast win, considering they had to slog it out in the torrential rain, whereas Gold Coast didn't really seem to break a sweat after half time, so... They'll probably have a little bit more run in the legs I liked what I saw from Gold Coast last week, and they'll take a lot of confidence out of that. And there's still a fair bit of upside as well. Lynch didn't have a great game, so I think they'll win this one comfortably. They've got too many guns across each line for the Blues to shut them down.
Well, this is a bit like the Melbourne Freo game for me. I just don't know what to do with it. Two sides that had done not much the first 2 weeks, both looked all right. I agree with you that the Gold Coast looked better last week. Home field's worth a bit though. I thought about Gold Coast minus, and I thought I was going to sit there on Monday and think, the hell were you doing laying the Suns on the road as favourites? So there's just enough there for me to stay out. Second of the Saturday night games, and oh, this could be a problem if you're a Bombers fan. Adelaide and Essendon at the Adelaide Oval. Crows laying 6 goals. That's probably not enough, but I can't take the minus. Total points line low 190s.
Yeah, again, Essendon had a pretty taxing game last week, obviously getting beaten by Carlton, which would have shaken them up a little bit. Adelaide got the job done and they just continue to fly, but they do have some significant outs. Jenkins won't play and McGovern won't play, which does put a bit of a hole through their forward line. So I think their capacity to really pile on that big score is going to be limited to a certain degree unless they can get significant scoreboard input from their midfield, which it's probably Essendon's strength, to be honest, is their midfield. So,
They don't mind stomping bad sides at home, though.
it is a good point, but I'm not yet convinced that Essendon's a bad side. I think that they.
Well, remember that last year, St Kilda went over there. Pretty handy side.
Yeah.
But a pretty handy side who's not quite there on the road. It's like West Coast. You get a so-so side goes over to Subi and just gets annihilated. You think, oh. What's this?
Yeah, it's a good point you make, and very valid. But for me, there's enough doubt, and I've certainly seen enough from Adelaide to know that they can do it. But with two of their big six missing up forward, I'm just not sure how deep they run and who comes in to provide that next avenue to goal. Every side's got three decent defenders, so you can hopefully do a job there. So it's enough doubt for me to leave this one alone.
Yeah, nothing for me either. Come on, Don, show me something this weekend. First of the Sunday games, we're back at the Docklands for Collingwood and St Kilda. This is near enough a pick 'em. You can get plus 1.5 Collingwood if you're shopping well. Total points line, high 180s.
Yeah, again, St Kilda they've just frustrated this year, haven't they? They could potentially have a couple of wins on the board, including an away to Subi against West Coast.
And they jumped Melbourne by 4 and a bit goals before they got steamrolled too.
Yeah, so that they've certainly got the tools. It's just they're not quite putting it together at the moment. The Pies were very chuffed with their get out of jail win against the Swans. Well, we won't. Well, given their credit, it wasn't a get out of jail win. They outplayed the Swans, but they were lucky to probably hold on to that in the end. But that being said, this one's round three. So
yeah. Although their form line through the Dogs and Richmond doesn't look so bad now.
Well, the Dogs lost to Freo on the weekend. So who's buddy form line, man? It's shit at the moment.
Richmond's form line looks all right. Who knew?
I actually played this earlier in the week when I got St Kilda plus 2.5. I'm happy to stick with that. I think the Saints are a significantly better team than Collingwood. Collingwood's pressure on the weekend against Sydney was fantastic, and they've found their method. But actually, God, I've not even got a week and I've broken my rule not betting on games involved Jesse White. I'm going to amend my rule slightly.
And lay Jesse White.
Not betting on teams that involve Jesse White to win by or to do any sort of job for me.
So just don't bet Collingwood.
read into it what you will. But I'm happy to bet into any team that involves Jesse White at the moment. So, look, I'm Jesse White aside, fuck him. Who's taking up too much air time already? I like the Saints, and sooner or later they've got to start kicking straight, and I think they'll do it this weekend, and they'll put a number on the Pies.
Well, I hope so, because I'm betting the over here. Last two head-to-head, both at the MCG, and both have crashed through 200. Neither of these bludgers have kicked straight for 3 straight weeks now. They're both long overdue, and if they actually sort it out, we'll be right. There's every chance now they have 57 scoring shots between them and land half a dozen points short, but That's the risky run. I'm pretty happy to be with the over here. Second of the Sunday games, we're up at the Gabba for Brisbane and Richmond. Lions getting 2.5 to 3 goals. Total points line around the 190 mark.
Yeah, and as I sort of said last week, Brisbane have been impressive in their growth. They've certainly not been disgraced by any stretch of the imagination at any point this year. And I like the way they're going about it. And we've been saying for 5 years that Brisbane are a 5-goal better side at home, and they always are. And I was considering laying the points here with Richmond and thinking, that they are going pretty well. But I think with the way Beams in particular and Rockliffe are playing in the midfield, getting good quality service to the outside runners, I think that's going to just put a little bit of a dent in the way Cochin and those sorts of guys have been doing likewise for their teammates so far. So would I lay 48 points at the G against Brisbane the way they're going at the moment? Probably not. Yeah. I know you generally say it's maybe a 3 or a 4 goal swing to alternate venues, but I think Brisbane probably the outlier in that particular scenario. And I expect Brisbane to put up a good account of themselves. Yep. Certainly wouldn't surprise me if Richmond win by 5 goals plus, but I'm not going to bet into the Lions. I think they're down all right.
I think they're an honest enough team to not be laying 3 goals at home. No bet for me. Slight lean to the over. A recent head-to-head history between these sides is reasonably high scoring. Lions still having their dramas stopping teams from scoring. But 190, twilight games, weather's starting to get a little bit cooler. It's just getting to that tipping point where that's getting a bit rich for me. Monday afternoon, we're at the MCG for Hawthorn and Geelong. Hawks getting 2.5 to 3 goals. Total points line, mid-180s. What the hell was
I
that?
I knew it had to come up. They were a fucking embarrassment on the weekend. Like, yes, Gold Coast played well, but they didn't play that well. Hawthorn didn't fire a shot in the first 10 minutes and pretty much didn't fire a shot in the second half. If they're fair dinkum as a football team, which they bloody should be, given the way that they've performed over the last 10 years.
Well, if Isaac Smith kicked straight last year in the first week of the finals, they're straight into a prelim with a week off.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Going for a fourth straight flag.
And you can say what you want about the changes in personnel. Realistically, you've replaced Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis with Jaeger O'Meara and Tom Mitchell.
Mm.
And for me, that's probably near enough a chop out at any day of the week anyway. So it's not like they've shed 3/4 of their list and all of a sudden, things have gone down the track. They're not in a rebuilding phase. Mm. They've got 15 premiership players out in this bloody squad. So, I don't know. I would like to think that's an aberration. I would hope that we're not looking at a 200-point belting when we play a G-dub, because that's what the form line's telling you at the moment, given that the coast has turned it around by nearly that number in a week. So, back to the actual game in question. Hawks Cats, generally pretty close contests over the journey. I'd like to think Hawthorn will come out with a bit of fire. These Easter Monday battles have always been amazing games of football to watch. I can't remember one off in recent memory where it's been a lopsided affair. Yep. It's always been a contest at least up until maybe 10 minutes to go. So I'm expecting the same here, but I can't back the Hawks and I can't bet into them. So I'm not, and the total doesn't really strike me. I think that if you probably looked historically, which I'm sure you will tell the listeners shortly, that
They're all over the shop.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. So
you get close games, but they could be 80 all or 100 all.
Could be anything. Could be absolutely anything this game. So that's enough for me. I'll just watch it hungover as 57 bastards on Monday, and hopefully not go to bed disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an easy laydown for me. The interesting thing with Geelong is I don't really know where to put them either. They're 3-blight. They probably shouldn't have beaten North. They gave them far too much start and should not have run them down. Melbourne had kicked straight, the Cats would be 1-2 with a win over Freo. And you think, gee, you're not going any good either.
Yeah, exactly right.
I think we worked out Adelaide are good, GW are good, And after that, who the hell knows?
Yeah, that's pretty much where we stand at the moment, which is an amazing place to be,
Yeah.
really.
It's very, very unlike the AFL of the last five, six, seven seasons, if not more. Usually your ends of the spectrum announce themselves pretty quickly, and then 10 teams fight for the middle
Yeah.
spots. But now...
About, you know, and it's obviously we have this weekend's matches to come, and results going to plan or however it may be, it's a little bit late now, but a bounce of the ball or a decent kick here and there across the course of the 4 weeks, we could legitimately see nine teams 2-2 after 4 rounds, which would have never happened before in the history of the game. Like it's the competition is that tight, where I know we made a big deal about Gold Coast at the end of the last podcast saying, you know, where's their future? They should tear the franchise down. They come out and...
Well, they figured it out. Mark Evans has figured it out fairly rapidly.
Beat a team that hasn't missed finals in 10 years and won three of the last four flags and beat them by 15 goals. Like, goodness me. And, you know, Freo getting home. Fuck, how could you possibly... Why would you want to even do this?
I've got two this week, and they're both totals. So it's got nothing to do with who wins. I've got the under in the West Coast Sydney game. I've got the over in the Collingwood St Kilda game.
Well, on the back of 3 weeks worth of spruiking about how shit the bookies are on totals and absolutely doing my ass last week, I've got no totals this week. but I do, flying in the face of my previous comments, which is something I'm generally akin to do, I have five this week. All lines, I'm laying West Coast, I'm laying Western Bulldogs, I'm laying G-Dub, I'm laying Gold Coast, and I'm taking St Kilda at a very small plus, but if I'm laying them by a point or two...
So basically, you need the favourites to roll.
Mate, it's got to fucking happen sooner or later. The Spastics can't win everything.
There we go. Good luck and good punting, folks.
All the best.